Again, Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. And today we want to look just to encourage our hearts. We want to look at the inherent power that exists within the coming generations to make a powerful change within this world. And the Bible tells us that God is a God of all generations, and that He brings His purpose into the world not just through one generation, but through the relationship and the transfer from generation to generation. And family is God's idea. Family is a thing that God instituted as a father. The Bible says that He is the father of all the His fatherhood defines all of human family. And today we want to celebrate parents because of their powerful role in this intergenerational plan of God. And anyone who's been a parent knows how hard the task is. You don't have any training before that little baby comes home with you. And probably the pain in a parent's heart is the pain of their children. Today what we wanted to do is just look at the Father heart of God, that He might encourage us, but also just be inspired at the power of good family and the power of that which it releases. So that's what we want to celebrate today. And just know that God's heart it beats so deeply with these things. We want to celebrate parents this morning and just the challenging job of parenting, and trust that we will be encouraged by God's word. And actually not just parents, but also grandparents, and also those in the Christian community, because God uses all of us to raise the next generation. This passage we looked at is very martial. It talks about a battle against an enemy that is at the gates. And what we have to realize, if we look in the world, there's so much evidence of the collateral damage as families are torn apart by family violence, by all kinds of social things. And we see that the collateral damage, the people that are most devastated by this is the younger people, the children and the youth. And we see just an epidemic of anxiety and depression and even suicide, and just unacceptable amounts, unacceptable percentages. And anyone with a heart for God and a heart for good has got to say, we're not going to accept that. We're not going to let that be the status quo. We want to trust God to do something about it. And in a Christian worldview, we recognize that the real reason for all these social ills and all these things that are assailing the upcoming generations is because there is an enemy. And the enemy is called the devil. And he's the enemy of all that is good. John 10 verse 10 says the thief comes. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and may have it to the full. Now that thief we know is our enemy, the devil. And Jesus warns us that our enemy is a malicious, murderous, malignant. He has malicious, murderous, and malignant intent against all that is good. And he focuses that very often, most intensely upon younger people, because he knows the power. And what's interesting is Jesus says he has come to do the exact opposite. He's come to bring the exact opposite: life and joy and flourishing and fruitfulness. And when we desire to see the same things, we become Jesus' agents in this. And that's what God wants all parents, all grandparents, and in fact anyone in the community to be agents of Jesus Christ, to counteract what the thief, what the enemy wants to do in killing and destroying and just completely trying to wipe out all good within the human heart and destroy human lives. Jesus wants us to be the agents of the contrary of that, and He's calling us into that. It's very interesting that when God wants to defeat the enemy, if we look through the history of the Bible, He always causes a child to be born. He caused Moses to be born to save His people out of slavery in Egypt. He caused Jesus to be born to save the world out of sin and save us from death. But interestingly, if we look at the history, and we probably all know it, and when both those babies were born, there was genocidal, infanticidal attacks against their lives. When Pharaoh ordered all the boys to be killed, and Herod ordered all the children under two to be killed. And they just escaped by God's intervention, by God's leading and speaking to and guiding to their parents to keep them safe from that. And the enemy knows that if he can strike the child when it's most vulnerable, he can stop the danger that that child is going to be to his kingdom. And God thwarted that in both of those cases. And because of that, a nation was saved to become the messianic people through whom Jesus could come and through whom we could be saved. The Terminator franchise, I'm sure all of us are familiar with that, where the robots take over the world. But what they know is that a young man rises up to be the enemy that destroys them. So they send robot bots back in time to try and kill that leader of the army that destroyed them while he was still a child. And that's the devil's repeated pattern. And God wants to defeat that through his agents, through parents and the influence of the older generations. And that's what we want to look at in this battle. And this psalm of ours has got beautiful imagery in it. And it talks about an arrow. So I've got an arrow here. It's one of Hannah's arrows. She's got a bow, an arrow that she shoots. This arrow has certain parts. And we're going to just look quickly at the different parts of this arrow. Firstly, an arrow is a very powerful thing because an arrow allows us to fight way beyond ourselves. It allows a combatant to have an influence way beyond himself. When we fight with a sword, it's hand to hand. When we fight with an arrow, the influence is extended way beyond our immediate circumstances, and it's extended far into the future. And that's why the Bible talks about children as arrows, because they're able to go so much further than the generation before them. And they're able to go right into the future. And that's why the enemy knows that they're such a danger. And the Bible, it gives us that beautiful picture. And we want to be thinking about how can we send those arrows to have maximum impact. There's a famous saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And it might not be true that the hand that rocks the cradle will rule the world, but the hand that rocks the cradle certainly has the power to change the world. And the influence of parents and the love and the nurture that we give to our children is powerful. The quiver, the Bible talks about the arrow being hidden in the quiver. That's a picture of the safe environment, the safe family relationships in which the children can be prepared and flourished and made ready for the flight of their destiny. And it's in that secure relationship that they're able to be prepared for their redemptive purpose of striking and bringing down this evil enemy who's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and bring all of humanity down into darkness and into suffering. And we recognize as parents our great responsibility to create that atmosphere, to create that environment where our children can be prepared so they can defeat that enemy. And this is coming from a very imperfect parent. And I know how much I failed, and we all fail because of our humanness and our own brokenness. But the beautiful thing is there's a loving Father who's committed to the well-being of our children, who's committed to the well-being of the future generations. And he's willing to heal us and help us and give us grace so that we can play our part as his agents in this battle. And we want to create that safe place. But if we take our metaphor of the arrow, we want to look quickly at a few aspects of this arrow. Firstly, there's the shaft, which is the part that I'm holding. And that speaks of character. Character needs to be straight and integrous in order for this arrow to fly straight. And as parents and godparents and grandparents, we need to be so mindful of living a life of an example in terms of our character, in terms of the way we relate to God in integrity and in holiness by His grace and His help. It says in Proverbs 20 verse 7, the righteous person behaves in integrity. Blessed are his children after him. Isn't that beautiful that when we live a life, a godly life, there's an automatic blessing goes to our children. The reason for that is our children will be able to see the blessings of living a godly life and make the right choices so that they too can live in all the blessings of a life that's responsive to God. And what that means is we must live carefully and circumspectly. But what it also means is that we must be aware that our children will do as we do, not as we say. And they are experts at noticing hypocrisy. They're experts at detecting hypocrisy. So we need to be challenged by that. And I want to play a little video. Some of you might have seen it. This video breaks my heart every time I see it, but I like to watch it because it just reminds me of the battle we're in and the importance that our lives have in the influence of others. So let's just watch this little video.
It looks like rain again today. Dark clouds gather, fill the sky. Don't know how to talk to me, just know how to say.
Quite sobering and just really challenging, but how beautiful is the upside of that, and that last little scene where we see the child mimicking the kindness and the love of God. And again, as parents, we are not perfect. We all have our brokenness, and the importance is that even when we get it wrong, that we don't pretend that we've got it right, that we're quick to say to our children, the way I just behaved is not a godly example. Forgive me for being a bad example. And we've got to teach our kids that we all need grace. And that grace comes when we confess and repent and recognize our need for God. And then the beautiful message of the cross is that the cross, Jesus showed us we were all sinners, but that there was grace to help us to grow. So may God help us in that. We really need it. And then I get blurry eyes and I can't see where I am. The next thing we're going to look at is the point or the head. And that's the sharp thing that penetrates through the resistance, through the opposition, to strike the enemy a mortal blow. And in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10, it says that the arrow is dull. Sorry, not the arrow. The axe is dull and the edge is unsharpened. More strength is needed, but with skill comes success. There's a famous quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln, and it says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. And this point speaks of skills that our kids learn, and obviously education is a big one of that. But as parents, we can't leave education just to the schools. We can't leave it just to the Sunday school. We need to be an integral part of that, encouraging our children to grow. We need to give them learning opportunities all the way through life. We need to teach them boundaries. We need to teach them to deal with conflict. We need to teach them to make the right choices and give them space even to fail and see the consequences. We need to give them every skill they possibly can. Anything they might want to learn, they want to be interested in, we should be invested in preparing them. And we have those 4 hours while they're in our home. We have those 4 hours to help them sharpen the tip so that they can have the skills to deal with the enemy and to live through life. And may God help us with that. The next thing that we see are the fletches. I didn't know they were called that. The fletches or the veins. Those are things that guide the arrow, that keep it straight. They keep it on course, and it speaks of guidance, it speaks of godly wisdom, it speaks of being led by the Spirit and the word and the purpose of God. And it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, but your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we've got to recognize the value of that. I think this is something that's strongly understood by pretty much all of us as Christians. There's some lyrics by a South African artist, and he said, so few years to give you wings to fly, show you stars to guide your ship by. And we feel as parents we have so few years. But if ever there was a star for our kids to guide their ship by, it's the Word of God. And we need to read the Word of God. And we need to read the Word of God to our kids. And I heard a challenge the other day. Don't just read on your phone. Because your kids and your grandies can't tell the difference. Are you just scrolling YouTube or are you reading the Word? Let them see you read the Bible. A physical Bible, just so that they learn that's what you're doing. And that they can model that and teach our kids to see how the Word of God guides us. Pray with our kids. Teach them to hear. Learn how to hear God. I'm not going to go into that one in detail. I think that's one that's pretty well established. But one thing to say is the coming generations, as they're coming of age, they're finding out more and more, sociologists are finding out more and more, that they desire authenticity. And if we want to pass on a living, vibrant relationship with God, we've got to have that burning in our hearts. It's got to be authentic in us. And our children will be able to embrace it. So may God help us to grow in our own relationship. And then finally, the last thing, which I also never really knew the name of this. There's a picture there. This is called the nock. The nock is that little notch at the bottom of the arrow, the end of the arrow that clips into the string. And that speaks very powerfully into what we're talking about today. That speaks about the connection between the bow, which is us as parents or grandparents or older people in the Christian community, that's our job to release the young people into their destinies, to strike the enemy where it really hurts. And that's the relationship between the one generation and the next. And a knock needs to be a very secure connection, but it can't hold too tight because it's got to be able to release the arrow. The arrow's got to be able to fly free into its own purpose, on its own destiny. And the Amplified Bible says this in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, the Amplified Bible kind of expands the scripture, but every one of those things that it's expanded in, they are really very clear things, that ways that we can exasperate our children. And what the Bible tells us is that in our role, in our authority, and in our relationship with our kids, we mustn't overstep God's limits to that. We mustn't be too controlling. We mustn't have unhealthy control or connection. It must be a snug fit, but not a restrictive one, so that our kids can be ready to fly. Counselors recognize that relationships occur along a continuum. And we're going to show that. There's a slide there. And the one end is indifference. And indifference is when there's no interface between the knot. That's too loose. It's far too loose. That's parents who are absent. Parents who have no real relationship, no true connection with their kids. There's no meaningful, authentic relationship there. And nothing's going to get transferred. Nothing good is going to get transferred through that. And then the other end of the spectrum is enmeshment. And enmeshment is something where we actually emotionally too tied up with another individual. We're actually too connected to them. And this can happen when we're unable to maybe discipline our children because we need their acceptance. And we're afraid of the rift that might occur if we just hold them to a value. This can also be when we try to live vicariously through our children. We're embarrassed when they fail, and we're tying too much of our own ego to their success. And then we start to try and influence them to be who we want them to be, rather than what God wants them to be. And we try to subject them to our will, rather than to the free will that God has given them, that He wants to guide them in. This is the sort of thing that causes exasperation, when our rules are too draconian and hypocritical, and our control too harsh. We need to give our kids space to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes in a safe environment. So the knock is a very important part of this. We don't want to be enmeshed. And then the final thing is the middle, the kind of good middle is an empathetic engagement where we have a relationship with our kids that is meaningful, where they learn to trust us and they learn to learn values from us in that relationship of trust where we listen to them and understand them and they understand us. And that's where sin has always affected relationship the most. And God needs to help us. May God help us grow in that. And we realize, all of us as parents will know, God, we could have done so much better. But may God help us. And God help us as we pray for this. Let's pray for this. Guys, we want to be praying for just God's blessing upon parents. And God's blessing upon families. And God's purpose for families to spread into the unsaved families of this community as well. And when we bring up our child, that where the verse said, bring up your child, that means to nourish and cherish and to rear. And that comes out of that close relationship of the knock. And then just finally, Ted Tripp in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, says that authority is maximum. Our authority in our child's life is maximum when they are very young. There's a chart to show this. So when our child is young, our authority is maximum. But as they get older and they have to exercise their own free choice, our authority decreases to the point where they leave home. And then we don't have authority over them anymore. What Ted Tripp says, the great thing about this though is that our influence actually increases as our children get older and we're able to relate to them and impart values, shepherd their heart. Not just keep them restrained by rules, so that when those rules are gone, the children then just go off and do whatever they like. Rules don't change hearts, but good relationship, good discipleship, good shepherding prepares a child. And the beautiful thing is when authority ends, that influence will go on. So we need to be just focused on the knock and its role in there. And may God help us as parents, may God help us as grandparents and those in a community. A child that is part of a community and they see the same values as their parents in other adults and other older teens or whatever it is, are much more likely to keep those values and live in the blessing of those values. So let's be praying, guys. Let's be asking God. Let's look to the Father of all fathers, the perfect Father. He knows our pain as parents. And he knows the pain and the frustration of the children sometimes, as children. And he's just got this beautiful heart full of love and grace and righteousness that he wants to draw us into. And he helps us in all these difficulties. He's able to heal the brokenness of sin in parents' hearts. And he's able to heal the brokenness of sin in children's hearts. And he's able to bring about his purposes and defeat that lying, destroying, stealing, murderous thief, the devil. And he's going to do it. God is going to do it. So let's be praying over this year. Let's be encouraged. Let's not give up. Shout out to parents. Guys, you guys are champions. You are heroes. Keep the fight. Keep the fight. I wasn't sure about doing this, but I'm going to do it. The history, I don't know if you know the history of this symbol. It didn't start out as a rude symbol. It started out in the English army. They had archers that used to shoot the longbows, and they were devastating. They could shoot through armor. When the enemies of the British caught the archers, they could tell they were archers by the calluses on their hands. And they would chop off their fingers. They might release them, but they would chop off their fingers so they could no longer shoot their longbows. And so it became a thing in battle. The archers would go, I've still got my fingers, buddy. You better look out. The arrows are coming. It wasn't a crude. It was a defiance. I don't know if the victory symbol came from that. But it's also a V. But I love that because the enemy says, I'm going to destroy the coming generations in your nation. I'm going to destroy, I'm going to kill them. And guys, we need an army of older people and older teens and whatever who go, no devil, you watch out. We're still shooting arrows. We're still in the business of deadly archery. And it's going to bring an end to your kingdom, because Jesus started the defeat and Jesus is going to finish the defeat. So let's rally around and be those people that carry God's heart in this and be Jesus's agents in this. Father, I just thank you this morning for your grace and your help with this, Lord. You know the battle. You know the struggle. You know the environment is adverse, God. But thank you that you give us victory. And I pray, Lord God, that we're going to keep firing, Father. We're going to keep fighting. And thank you, Lord, that you said you will destroy the enemy. The time will come when that wicked enemy will be no more, Lord. And sin and sorrow and tears and broken families will be no more. So, Lord, we're going to just commit ourselves to pray and to keep fighting, to keep supporting and be your agents in this. Beautiful Father. Amen. Amen.